Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 54, You Rebel Scum. I am, as always, one of your co-hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, we have the Wedge Antilles to my Wes Jansen. We have Carl LeClaire.
Good shot, Jansen.
Wah! That got him.
Wah, that got him.
Cable out! Let her go!
Detached cable. Cable detached.
Cable detached!
Oh, great scene. Battle of Hoth. Oh, yes. I love being Wedge. But Wes is so cool. What a cool name. Wes Jansen. Yes. He plays such a big role in the EU. I love that guy.
I love that guy. He's so funny in the X-Wing series. I love his character in the X-Wing series.
Yeah.
So,
you know what? All right. I know this is the beginning of an episode that has nothing to do with this, but this made me just think of a question. And I'm going to ask you because this is a off the cuff episode to begin with.
Yes. And we will get to our topic here momentarily. So,
indeed.
Hold on to your butts, folks.
Yeah. Oh, Jurassic Park. Hold on to your butts. but did you ever wonder why once Wes and Wedge take out that AT-AT with the tow cable and it, you know, mm-hmm. falls to the ground, all of a sudden it's impervious. It's no longer impervious to blaster fire. They blow it up. I never really understood why. I mean, whatever, that's the way it worked, but it was so funny because, you know, when Luke shot the thing right in the face, it, you know, didn't hurt it at all. And, you know, that's when they realized that their blasters are going to be no good. But once they trip that one up and it falls to the ground, they're able, remember those, that snow speeder flies by and like shoots it and it explodes. It's like, wait, what happened? Why is all of a sudden can they shoot it? So
I always thought that they hit the neck, was more vulnerable.
Sure.
But the other thing is that now that I think about it, if I remember correctly, and, you know, somebody who is a big fan of the Hoth battle, Chris, might be able to tell me this, but when that thing falls, I think I remember seeing some of like the armor plating, like shake and like rattle out of place a little bit. So that might've contributed to it, weakened it. I don't know.
That was kind of always my guess too. It's just it falling down somehow weakened it enough that it was now like it knocks the plating loose or something.
Yeah, so. But I always thought they hit the neck and that there was some sort of something that was, you know, highly explosive right there, you know, some sort of generator right behind the bulkhead where the neck is. So that was always my assumption, you know, whatever.
Yeah. See, so this is what Star Wars podcast you can do. You can just start talking about random things from the movies. So
exactly. But, this episode titled "You Rebel Scum" is going to be.
Jason just loves doing that because he nails it so perfectly.
I do. I got really overexcited for saying that. it's going to be all about our thoughts and speculation, reaction, and speculation of the announcement of the new Rebels animated TV series that's going to be coming out in fall of 2014, so a mere, you know, 15 to 16 months away.
Yeah.
So that will be awesome. And then we'll probably get into a little discussion about Star Trek Into Darkness and what we thought of it and how that relates to J.J. Abrams doing Episode 7. And who knows what other topics might wend their way into this podcast. We are not going to be doing our matchup because we just completely forgot to, you know, post it on Facebook and everything. So we don't have any responses. So we're going to save that for our next episode. And we will remind you about what that is in a little bit. But Carl, why don't you start us off here?
Yeah. So I think it was exciting for a lot of people when we got this big announcement that Lucasfilm was now turning to another project, because people were so bummed about the Clone Wars. And I think there's still a lot of people that still want them back, but that's a hopeless battle. They're done. They're not coming back. But I think this is a exciting new turn of things. And I personally was so ecstatic because, I mean, I know I've voiced this before. I was a little over the Clone Wars era. Not to say that it wasn't a great series, because it was. And it was actually getting even better each season. And especially those last few episodes of the current season were so good. But I'm kind of sick of that episode, 2 to 3 time frame. I'm over it. And again, being a bigger fan of the classic films, I want more of that classic feel. And I think a lot of the fans were really excited when they announced that they're going to be doing this, new series between 3 and 4. And the cool thing too is they're still sticking with a lot of the exact same people that did the Clone Wars. I mean, you still have mm-hmm. Dave Filoni who's going to be on. A lot of the same animators. I mean, I don't know a lot of these people's names, but I know that it's a lot of the same staff that's going to be working on Rebels.
Killian Plunkett, the lead designer, and oh goodness, he was at C6, the lighting effects supervisor, whose name is completely escaping me right now, but he's going to be involved in it too.
I think his name was Boss Nass. That's who it was.
yes.
We still don't care about Danabu.
okay. You're going to get me going again.
I just put a little bit of Gungan meat in front of him and I'll just eat it right up.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
But anywho, so yeah, I mean, I think Rebels will be very exciting. I think we can expect as good and better animation than we had in Clone Wars. Not to say better because there was something wrong with Clone Wars, but, I mean, obviously those of us who watched Clone Wars saw how every season they just kept pushing and pushing the boundaries and getting it better and better. So I think Rebels is going to continue to push those boundaries as far as visual effects go. But this is such a great thing to open up for storytelling. Like I was saying, the Clone Wars was, we've been stuck to that now for over 5 years, and while it's very exciting, I think you have this 20-year gap, between episodes 3 and 4. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how they move forward with this. And, who knows when in that 20-year gap they're going to begin. I mean, are we talking, right after episode 3? Are we talking, halfway between 3 and 4? I mean, who knows? So now I'm going to start doing some speculating. My speculation is that they'll probably start a little bit later than episode 3, because I don't know that you can do as much exciting stuff right after episode 3, because I think it's clear after episode 3, like Bail and Tilly's and Yoda and Obi-Wan are having that discussion at Polis Basa and Bail Organa. What did I say?
Bail and Tilly's.
What a noob I am.
that's actually the Alderaanian senator that was never seen in episode 1.
That's right.
He was the one that was nominated to succeed Valor as Supreme Chancellor,
That's right. And I never made that connection. I always just assumed they meant Bail Organa. But yeah, that's right. They say Bail Antilles.
Yes.
God, you're so smart.
Who else has been nominated? Bail Antilles of Alderaan and Ainley Team of Malastair. I have confidence our situation will create a strong sympathy vote for us. I will be Chancellor.
If you guys could just see Jason's face as he does these lines. But I think they'll do something a little bit later, only because, again, right after episode 3, you're not going to have too many uprisings right away, because, again, Palpatine wants to make it appear that the Senate is still, a big force, that that democracy is still somehow involved. And also, too, you have a lot of senators who are going to be terrified of Palpatine at this time. They know how powerful he is now. They know that the Jedi Order has now been, decimated, so they have no direct military allies. So I don't think there's going to be too much initially. So I'm thinking, hopefully we're looking, probably at least 5 to 10 years down the road from episode 3. And, it's the Empire expanding, but the biggest thing I hope, and I know a lot of, people want this too, is Vader. We want to see some Vader. And
but, I don't know if that got picked up very well, but
no, it didn't. But I think people really want to see Vader kind of be in Vader. You know, I mean, we've always wanted to see how, you know, how incredible he can be in that suit. I mean, episode three, one of the little letdowns to me still of episode three is that you only see Darth Vader in Darth Vader's costume for the last, you know, 2 minutes of the movie. And he doesn't do anything except fold his arms. You know, I mean, it's not.
And
it's
go,
not, no! That happened?
Yes, it did.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, I think it'll be so cool to get to see Vader, you know, leading stormtroopers in battle. And also, I'd love to see, like, more of them, like, creating, like, the stormtroopers' academies and stuff, you know, like, as they start phasing out the clones and start bringing in recruits and stuff. I mean, I really want to see a lot of the machinations of the Empire happen. But obviously, I think, you know, with the title, like, Rebels, I think the main focus will probably be on more minor characters who are starting the Rebel movement. I mean, I would speculate that we'll see some Mon Mothma. Probably see some, you know, Bail Organa, maybe even young Leia. Who knows? But I think from things that they've announced so far, it seems like though they are wanting to kind of turn to other characters. I don't think they are going to keep it to, you know, mainline characters. I mean, I hope that we'll see those characters and that they'll show up, you know, in a consistent basis. But I don't think that'll be the driving force of this series. Seems like they'll probably introduce some new characters, kind of like a similar to like what Ahsoka was.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was really excited to hear about this because I don't know if I talked with – if I speculated about what the new series was going to be with you. But I know I did with Kyle Avery. We were speculating that the new series was going to take place after episode 6 to sort of lead into episode 7. Because that was where everything up until this point was looking. They were like, well, we're pulling back so we can prepare for, you know, episode 7. And, you know, like you, I was really kind of a little disappointed with the way things were going because they were shutting everything down. And then we got the news that EA was going to do Star Wars games. And they came out, I think they're going to have a big, like, press conference right before E3 about what they're going to do with that. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do there. And then they had the announcement for Rebels. And so all of a sudden, you know, Star Wars fans are like, oh, we should never have let Disney, you know, George Lucas should have never sold to Disney. Disney's ruining Star Wars. And then all of a sudden, you know, EA, Star Wars Rebels, you know, Star Trek comes out and we're going to see, you know, kind of what episode 7 might have, you know, in store for us. And now everyone's going, ah, yes, yes, this is the greatest thing ever. So, and I'm like, see, you just should have waited just a little bit. It's going to be okay. Disney knows what they're doing. But, of course, we're not going to get that for, you know, another year or so. But it's nice to know that it's in the works. So I was really excited to find out that they were going to take place between episodes 3 and 4. Because we had talked about the live-action series, you know, if that ever was going to happen, you know. And at this point, I don't think it is. So I think maybe some of those stories that were written for the live-action series might, in some way, shape, or form, make their way into this series. Who knows? I was really excited because this is going to be a series that's done something that almost nothing else has been able to do before, and that's going to be able to bridge the gap between the prequels and the original trilogy, and hopefully be something, you know, this is my little prequel soapbox coming out here, so you can hear it scraping, you know, hopefully it'll be something that will help people reconcile the differences between the prequels and the original trilogy so they can look at it all as one big story instead of, you know, oh, those three movies. you know?
Yeah.
You were talking about the animation, and I don't know if it's going to be the same type of computer animation, because I know they were talking about taking a lot of inspiration from Ralph McQuarrie drawings and stuff like that. For the designs, at least.
Okay.
But the other thing is with the animation, and this is going to get, you know, into the Hollywood business stuff. George Lucas put a whole ton of his money. You know, he's an eccentric billionaire. He can just dump money into, you know, making the Clone Wars the best possible animation on television that you've ever seen, and not worry about, you know, all the money that it's costing.
Yeah. Right.
And. But Disney is another story because they're a big corporation. They probably have caps on how much money they're willing to spend on any particular series or at any given time. So I'm wondering if we'll just see something that's kind of on par with the Clone Wars. Hopefully it's, you know, on par and then gets better than the Clone Wars. That's what I'm hoping for. But, you know, just because of the nature of the different studios, I'm not sure. Unless George Lucas decides he just wants to dump a chunk of money into Lucasfilm Animation to help them develop more stuff. Anyways, which is not beyond the realm of possibility, because, you know, technically he's retired, but that just means that he doesn't need an appointment to wander around his studios. He can just sort of come and wander the, you know, Lucasfilm or animation departments and pop in and say, hi, I'm here. You know, that's my take on it. You know, who knows what he'll really be doing, but I have a feeling after his wedding and everything, you know, around that dies down, he'll be like, they're doing a lot of stuff with Star Wars over there. I really kind of want to see what's going on. And he'll make his way over to the studios and just sort of drop in. As far as what the show is, here's where my speculation starts here. And I think that I do agree with you that we're probably going to focus in a lot on, like, the initially some of the rebel leadership, Mon Mothma, Bail Organa, maybe General Dodonna. And I do think down the road we'll see at least Princess Leia. Probably not Luke. Probably not Han. But I do think we'll see at least Princess Leia in the series somewhere, which means we could get Kat Tabor, who voiced her in Force Unleashed, to do that. The other interesting thing is when I was at Phoenix Comic Con, we meaning Kyle and I, went and saw Sam Witwer's panel, and Kyle got to go up and ask him a question, because, you know, it was a Q&A panel and people got to go up in line and ask questions and stuff. And so he asked Sam if he was going to be involved in any way, shape, or form with the new series. And Sam Witwer said, well, I can't really talk about it. And, you know, it's still very early, but if Dave Filoni were to ask me to do anything, I would totally do it. So there's a possibility that Sam Witwer will be involved in some way, which I think would be cool, which means that we could get either a conclusion to Darth Maul, what happened in the Clone Wars, or he could be doing the Emperor or some other character, because he did the Emperor in the Force Unleashed video games.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Surprise! Yeah, no, he did. of all people you would think would do the Emperor in that game, you didn't think it was going to be Sam Witwer, did you? No. But he actually does it really well. And he did a couple lines there at Phoenix Comic Con at the interview, which was really funny to watch. And the other thing is I'm really looking forward to is, in addition to maybe getting some sort of, like, ramifications from the Clone Wars, from the Jedi Purge and all that fun stuff wrapped up and sort of figured out and, you know, digested, is see what new heroes we're going to get. Because there are going to be heroes of the Rebellion that are going to, you know, be around and then die by the time of Episode 4.
Right.
You know, there's going to be heroes of the Rebellion before Luke and Han show up. And I'm curious to see what new characters those are going to be. And I'm curious to see if they're going to utilize Ahsoka Tano as one of those heroes.
Interesting.
And, you know, see if she finds her way involved with the Rebels at some point. You know, maybe she won't be, you know, there very often. Maybe she'll help them out once or twice. But, you know, we are pretty certain at this point that she survives Order 66. You know, she's not part of the Jedi at that point. So, but what happens after Order 66? You know, does she just sort of sit around while the Empire, you know, runs its course, or does she get involved? And if she gets involved, you know, who's going to be the main point of opposition? The Rebels. So, it'll be interesting to see if they bring her in. I suspect they will. But, you know, who knows at this point? And the other thing is I'm curious to see if they will do anything with Asajj Ventress, because of the path that they were taking her on in the Clone Wars. and the fact that there is no EU on her past the Clone Wars. So it'll be interesting to see if they sort of try and do some sort of story and branch out into some completely unknown territory for that character in this new series. So those are just a couple of things that I've been sort of thinking about, and you know, maybe we can get into a little discussion here about other things that might be cool to see. But yeah, those are a couple of things that I'm really interested to see if they pick up on or, you know, not or whatever. But there are a couple characters from the Clone Wars that I think would be fun to have show up. You know, Cad Bane, Boba Fett, Hondo Ohnaka running, you know, guns for the Rebels or something, you know. anything to get Hondo Ohnaka back.
I would love to see Cad Bane get killed by Boba Fett in the new series. Just to prove who the better bounty hunter is.
Oh.
But I think they're friends, so...
I'm going to cry.
I know. I think Cad Bane is overrated. So actually, I don't know. They made him too powerful. That was the thing that was...
Speaking of overrated bounty hunters, Boba Fett much?
Come on.
That's a discussion for another podcast.
Yeah.
I agree he's a good bounty hunter, but people make him to be more than I think he is. Even the EU makes him to be more than he really is. Karen Travis, I'm looking at you. sorry, I know I just totally wounded the hearts of many people out there, but I'm... Okay, I'm not going to get into that. I'm sorry. Well, let's back focus. Focus yes. on Rebels. But no, I do think he would show up in Rebels at some point.
I mean, obviously, I think the primary drive, like we were saying, is I think it will be predominantly new characters, new heroes, new stories. But I think it's really important, though, to tie in some of those loose ends, especially, you know, with Clone Wars ending. I mean, it'd be really cool to see something else with, you know, with Darth Maul. You know, I'd love to see, I mean, there is that, Infinities episode where Darth Maul, you know, tracks Obi-Wan back to Tatooine and they have a duel together. And I think Obi-Wan kills him again. That's right. Owen kills him.
Shoots him in the head with the sawed off shotgun, basically.
Right. Right.
Spoiler alert, folks, by the way.
Yeah.
That would be something that I think would probably actually happen in the new Kenobi novel, if
that's true.
If anything, so
yeah.
Or yeah, I just want to see a Kenobi spinoff movie.
I would see now. That would be awesome. I would love an Obi-Wan Kenobi spinoff movie.
Yes,
but yeah. I mean, I think Rebels has so much promise. It's still, I mean, it's obviously still so early. That, you know, we can speculate all we want. But I mean, I think. There's definitely a strong fan response and a desire to see some, you know, some of the heroes and characters we've already been introduced to, be it through the films or the Clone Wars. And there's plenty of big characters from the Clone Wars that we could obviously still play around with. It's obviously as a cartoon. And they're making it, you know, and I think they did say they want to target it more for a little bit of an older audience than the Clone Wars. But I think you're going to get predominantly, you know, action-based stories because nobody wants to sit around and watch a cartoon of conversation. I really want it to be good writing. I want it to be good stories,
And that brings me to another point that they announced in the video is that Simon Kinberg, who is, helping out with story ideas for episode 7, is also writing a standalone movie, is writing the 1-hour special pilot, episode for the series.
Oh, sweet.
And is an executive producer on the series.
Cool.
So yes, that's cool. And I think this mentioned that the 1-hour pilot is going to be on the main Disney Channel, and then the series itself is going to be on Disney XD. So it already has a home.
Yeah.
So not like still shopping it around, which is nice.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, so that'll be interesting. That'll be cool. And who's the guy who did Gargoyles?
Yeah, I know.
At Cartoon Studios.
Right, I know.
Greg Wiseman. Yeah. Greg Wiseman.
I always liked Gargoyles. That was a cool show.
I never saw it, but
It's really
everyone
good.
Says it was really good. So he's also an executive producer along with Dave Filoni. So yeah. Having those three working on this series, I think we're in pretty good hands.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. The only thing we really know for sure about it is that those guys are involved and that there's going to be TIE Fighters because that's what Dave Filoni's been drawing.
Oh, okay. Well, good. So, good. Yeah, I would love to see Star Destroyers and TIE Fighters and Z-95 Headhunters.
X-Wings.
Yeah, yes. X-Wings eventually.
Yes. But yeah.
Yeah.
So it was funny. In the video, Pablo Hidalgo was interviewing Dave Filoni and everything, and he had just mentioned that Killian Plunkett, the designer from Clone Wars, was going to be involved, and he says, yeah, it's great to have him along because he knows just about everything there is. And then they have a shot of Killian standing in the office with the two of them, and he's looking at one of Dave's drawings of a TIE fighter, and he's counting something on the drawing, and Dave's like, well, what are you doing, you know? And Killian Plunkett says, I'm counting to make sure you have the right number of window panes on the TIE fighter. So,
attention to detail.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, that was pretty funny, I thought, and kind of cool. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to bring a whole new feel to Star Wars again. I mean, I think the Clone Wars was a much different feeling. Both Clone Wars series, you know, that Gennady, I can never say that guy's last name.
Gennady Tartakovsky.
Yes. I mean, his series had a very, you know, unique feel to it. The new Clone Wars series has a very unique feel to it. I think Rebels will add another, you know, layer of depth to the Star Wars universe. I just really hope we get a lot of Vader. That's all I want. I just want to see Vader being Vader. I want to see him hunting down remnants of the Jedi and killing them.
Yes. That's the other thing is I'm excited to see is the different Jedi that survived the Order 66 and what their stories are. Yeah. I'm hoping and Mark Herleman is going to be rejoicing to hear me say this. I hope we get to see K'Krook. in it. So he's a Jedi that's been in a lot of the comics and stuff from the Clone Wars and survives Order 66 and is actually is one of those long lived species and ends up in the Legacy of the Force comics or the Legacy comics with Cade Skywalker and all that fun stuff.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, he survived that long. So I'm hoping that maybe he shows up in at some point. So, and Mark Herleman is going to be just rejoicing to hear me be another voice out there asking for K'Krook to show up.
Well, how ridiculous would it be if Darth Vader had a run-in with Ahsoka?
That would be pretty. Like, that would be something.
How epic would that be? Like a sweet like season or series finale? Is she's been leading a rebel group, and you know Vader has to confront her and. You know, that would be emotional and awesome. So,
yeah. And the question is, does she know it's Anakin at that point, you know? Or does she sense Anakin once he confronts her?
Right.
You know, sort of thing. You know, how is she going to figure out that it was Anakin? You know, is she going to figure out? So,
well, I think it'd be, and people might get mad at me saying this, but I think it'd be awesome if he killed her. And the reason I say that is because, and I do like Ahsoka. I don't want her. I mean, well, I wouldn't mind if she died. I'm not that attached to her, but, I think it would actually be awesome to show the depth to which he has become evil.
Right.
I mean, that would be really good for this, you know, the storytelling for Darth Vader. I mean, when we meet Darth Vader in episode 4, I mean, he's the epitome of evil. And even in episode 5, like the only reason he's interested in Luke is to overthrow Palpatine. And it's not really until episode 6 that we see his humanity coming out again.
Right.
So I think it'd be awesome to see, you know, he has this run-in with Ahsoka, and whether she knows who he is or not right away, he's going to know who she is.
Right.
And to confront her and to kill her would show just how you know, distant Anakin Skywalker is from him. And I think that would be important to the development of his character.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that would be really cool.
I agree. You know, while it would be sad to see her die, because she's been such a huge character for us for the past, you know, what is it now, 5-6 years since the movie. But, you know, having that moment, that you're right, that would be a great character moment for Darth Vader, you know, and for, you know, Anakin's character, you know, and everything. So it would be, if they introduce her in the series, I'm guessing there will be an inevitable confrontation somewhere down the line between her and Vader. So,
yeah.
And I know there were some people speculating, well, maybe she'll survive and she'll be one of the Jedi that Luke has part of the New Order in Episode 7. And, you know, he's getting information from her and stuff like that. And I was like, she would be really old by that time. And
I think that'd be lame, too, to be honest, because that would – I think that would that takes away from Luke's own development. I mean, Luke's goal, I mean, Luke's mission after Episode 6 is to reignite the Jedi Order on his own. And I think that's really significant. You know, if he's got some old Jedi, like, counseling him on every little thing he does, it kind of takes away from what he does. I don't know. Maybe that's me being a bit of a purist or something, but – yeah, I don't want to see Ahsoka in Episode 7 at all.
No, much as I do like the character, which I really do,
right?
It's not something I think would fit with, you know, the story to have her show up in Episode 7. As much as, you know, I know there's a lot of people that have said, you know, have speculated maybe she'll show up then, and I'm like, no. If anything, it'll be in this series that we're going to get, and if they do a live action series, you know. Who knows? But we're probably not going to get that at this point, especially now that we have this instead. But the likelihood is that she'll show up here rather than there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if we get her again, it's probably going to be in Rebels. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
maybe a standalone movie. I think that would be cool if she had her own standalone movie, just to sort of bring that character to more of a give her more of a spotlight. And on a bigger stage. But other than that, I don't think she has much of a role.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah. So lots of ideas.
Indeed.
So, but, since we were obviously talking a little bit, Episode 7, you know, we were just talking right before we started recording about seeing the new Star Trek movie that J.J. Abrams did, and Steve Glosson will probably start screaming if we start talking Star Trek a lot, so we're not here to talk Star Trek, but it was really interesting to see this new Star Trek film, and again, this, I think there are some implications as to what this could mean for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this has anything to really will affect Star Wars at all. But I think I don't want to like spoil anything in case you haven't seen the new Star Trek film. But if you haven't, shame on you. See it. I thought the end was kind of lame. How they copied Wrath of Khan. I thought that was a little silly. I mean, I think it was well done. There was nothing wrong with the movie. If you knew nothing about any other Star Trek film, I think you would have loved it even more.
That's my boat.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Wrath of Khan probably once a long time ago, and I enjoyed it. It was a good movie. And, you know, most Star Trek fans will argue that, you know, Wrath of Khan is the greatest Star Trek film. But to literally copy the story but just flip one thing at the end, to me, was kind of like, really? We can't come up with an original idea? Really? That kind of irked me a little bit. But again, that's not going to happen with Star Wars because this is original story. You know, Star Trek, they went back to do a prequel in a sense, you know, when Abrams redid that in 2009. But the direction they took it was to me a bit of a cop out. I don't know. That's my own little, here's my little soapbox. I put up I don't think I put it on the Wampuzzler page, but I did put it on my own personal Facebook wall. Somebody wrote a really great article last week about how Hollywood has really just kind of lost its steam, has kind of lost its creativity. And, you know, we're always doing reboots and prequels. You know, like, where's the originality? And I thought it was a really well thought out article. And it's not like a slam on any of these particular films, but it's just, you know, it's like a call to saying, like, where's, you know, where's the next great idea that will spawn our imaginations? And you know,
which makes me sad that George Lucas has retired.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, if George Lucas was still writing stories for movies, I'd be great with that. I just don't want him directing. He can't anymore. I'm sorry. I mean, the prequels to me
story are... treatments. Get, yeah, George story Lucas can be is, new story treatments.
George Lucas is a fantastic storyteller, but he can't write dialogue, and he can't write. He can't direct films anymore because he's so... people are going to be mad because he is the creator, and I love the man, but he is so... headstrong. He doesn't listen to anyone. That was the problem with the prequels. There was no giving him input, you know, and even a lot of the classic characters from the originals would say, you know, he's not a good character director, because he's not good at taking ideas from his actors. You know, I think that's the biggest difference between Empire Strikes Back and all the other films, is because Irvin Kershner gave the actors a bit of freedom to express themselves, whereas George Lucas he's not very good at that. But anyway,
but then again, he's very much a big picture sort of person. So,
right. Exactly.
Which is where he's incredibly good at.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, he is without doubt, I mean, probably the greatest storyteller in modern filmmaking. Yeah. So, I mean, I still wish he was writing episode 7, to be honest. I mean, maybe not but at least writing the story.
They're taking his story treatments for 7, 8, and 9, and I think basing the films off of that. So we'll see how close they stick to that, and, you know, whether or not we actually figure out what those were or not, you know, who knows. But
yeah.
But obviously they won't share that with us until after the movies come out. So
right, exactly. yeah, I mean... I think, again, going back to, you know, what J.J. Abrams had just did with the new Star Trek, is J.J. Abrams knows how to make an exciting film. And when you think Star Wars, you think excitement. And I think some diehard Star Trek fans don't like what J.J. Abrams has done because, as they would say, he's turned it into a Star Wars film more than a Star Trek film. Because Star Trek is much more – it's more philosophical. It's more – I mean, it's straight up sci-fi. Where, again, like we talked about on our last episode when Jazz was on, you know, I think Star Wars is more like fantasy in space or mythology in space more than it is some straight up sci-fi.
Right.
But and I think somebody like me, and I'm sure you might share the sentiment as well, Jason, but Star Trek isn't as exciting to us simply because it is a little bit slower. It's a little more technical. It misses out on some of that excitement. But both Star Trek from 2009 and, you know, Into Darkness that just came out, I mean, these are very exciting films. They're full of action, but they are still good storytelling, and there's fantastic character development. I mean, the development between Spock and Kirk in the new Star Trek movie is unbelievable. And that gives me great hope for what we're going to see in far as characterizations in the new Star Wars. I think J.J. Abrams knows how to... not only make a great action film, but also give you a lot of depth. And some of other, J.J. Abrams, I mean, his most famous work is debatably Lost, which I still haven't seen much of, but it's all about, you know, in-depth characters and almost mysticism to it. Like, there's a lot of mysticism to that. He's very good. My favorite J.J. Abrams movie is Cloverfield. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Jason.
I have not seen it.
Let me recommend it. It is awesome.
I do have the music from the very end of it, though, on my iPod.
Oh, yes. It's called Roar. It's amazing.
Yes, it is.
But, I mean, that's even a great film, too. I mean, this is something, you know, most people hate, you know. Like, it's like the Blair Witch Project, you know. It's like this hand-shot thing. But he'd used that art form so well. And that movie, to me, is so good because of the characters. You know, it's a monster movie, but with a great character story in it. And I don't know, I just have all this, I have so much hope, especially in light of the new Star Trek, of J.J. Abrams really kind of breathing life into our characters again. Both, I mean, obviously I would assume we're getting some, you know, a new cast of characters for episode 7 who are going to carry through the new trilogy. But even, you know, if we do have the big three back, which it's looking like we will, you know, he'll be able to breathe a realistic life into them as well. You know, I mean, because especially with, you know, these original Star Trek characters, he really stuck true to the way they were originally portrayed back in the, you know, 70s and 80s and 60s even. But he kind of gave it a new flair. And I think he'll be able to recapture that flavor of the original characters and also, again, make it move forward. So, yeah, I mean, in short, I'm really excited. And I also love the way he mixes CGI and set pieces. I remember, I mean, from the Star Trek Blu-ray edition I have when it came out, there's like this really cool documentary on there, and J.J. Abrams talks about how he's a big fan of, whenever possible, if budget allows, to build sets as opposed to CGI them, because in his opinion, there's a stronger sense of realism to it. He's not wrong. It's real. It's not right. A computer screen. And I really like how he continued to do that with the new Star Trek. I mean, he has fantastic CGI for all the space stuff and the space battles, and that looks so good. But so much of the other stuff is, you can tell it's real, and it just looked so cool. And I'm anxious to see that, hopefully, with Episode 7. I mean, Episode 3 is predominantly a green screen movie with a few sets. And for some people, they're fine with that. I mean, I love Episode 3. It's my, you know, it's one of my favorite Star Wars films. But the only drawback to me to Episode 3 was the computer animation-esque to it. I mean, there were so many times where I'm like, yeah, this is really cool looking, but it's not real. And it detracted a bit from the storytelling. I think J.J. Abrams has a great sense of balance between CGI and real set building. And it's funny too, because that's what, you know, when they've interviewed Mark Hamill recently, Mark Hamill seems to be very adamant about the fact that he wants to see, you know, a little less CGI. And it's not that he's opposed to CGI, but right. You know, more realism to it. I think that's one of the big differences between the feel of the prequels and the originals too, is the originals, almost everything you see is real. Almost everything right. You see was built and created. Whereas when, you know, Episodes 1 through 3, the majority of that is computer generated. And to me, that personally, that changes the feel of a movie. So I think J.J. Abrams has a great feel for that medium ground. So, because you can't have Star Wars without CGI, of course not.
Right.
That would be silly. But,
yeah. It would be silly. I don't know where that came from. Sorry.
So I don't know. What did you think after you saw Star Trek?
Well, first of all, I love the movie for the movie itself. Yeah. I have never seen any of the older Star Trek stuff. All Star Trek I've seen is just J.J. Abrams stuff. And he's done a very good job with them. But it's a very different series than Star Wars is, and he's the first to tell you that it is. I've heard in interviews that he says, you know, there's a different feel and a different approach between Star Trek and Star Wars, and so I'm really glad that he recognizes that. However, there are some things from Star Trek that I think will translate very well when he does Star Wars. You already touched on the character development, which I wholeheartedly agree with. You can have an awesome action-based movie with good characterization. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with both the returning characters and the new characters. So, in that respect, I'm going to go a little bit more like, visual here in my thing, but, I absolutely loved what J.J. Abrams did with the space shots, with the ships and everything. And if we can get those types of, obviously, you know, we're not going to be going into warp drive, or, you know, we're probably not going to be sitting outside of a nebula.
But that would be cool.
But the space in Star Wars has a very distinct feel. But it's just the way that, if you take the sequence where the Enterprise is being chased by the Admiral's bigger ship. Don't remember the name of it. Mm-hmm. But if you take that and you multiply it times like 10 or 50 or 100, you're going to get an amazing incredible space battle, you know, the likes that could put the one over Andor to shame. You know, especially if you add fighters and command, you know, capital ships and all that fun stuff to it. But just the way that the ships would move, I thought was really cool and really neat to see the way that he did that and the way that the ships responded to each other and those types of things and the effects used with the ships. They looked so good and so real, which I thought was great, which probably means ILM was involved with it somewhere. which, of course, we will have complete access to ILM because it's now part of Disney and Lucasfilm. But if he can direct that stuff, I'm really excited to see what he can do in directing space shots and, you know, things like that for Star Wars, you know. You know, obviously put the Star Wars twist on it, but I'm really eager to see what he can do with space. Because that's something that I think was missing a little bit from a lot of the, especially the second half of the prequels, was the amount of you know, shots in space. So, I mean, basically we would get like, oh, it's hanging there waiting to pick up a ship. And then it's gone. You know, the Rebel Blockade Runner, you know, Bail Organa's out there picking up Obi-Wan, and that's it. Or we've got the upper atmosphere fight, you know, over Coruscant at the beginning of the movie in Revenge of the Sith. But, you know, that's basically just following two fighters through the giant battle.
Right.
But I want to see more space on the level of, like, you know, A New Hope and Return of the Jedi. There's just a lot of traveling that happens. And I think if we go back to that sort of story, that we're in good hands on that front with what J.J. Abrams been able to accomplish in Star Trek.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah.
And just that shot of the Enterprise rising out of the ocean.
That was awesome.
That was incredible.
That was so cool. Yeah.
That combined with the... No, my favorite shot, though, in the entire movie was the Enterprise falling to Earth, and as they're getting the engines back online, it falls through the cloud layer, and then comes back up, and then rose back up, you know, with the music and everything. That was my favorite shot in the entire movie. So,
yeah,
if we could get something like that in Star Wars,
That was, yes. It was, like, similar to that scene in the first Star Trek when he did, when the Enterprise comes up through like the dust cloud of Saturn, which was really cool. But yeah, I'm totally with you. I mean, I love outer space. I've always been fascinated by space itself, and I love Hubble telescope pictures and all that stuff. And I think J.J. Abrams did a great job of like recreating like all the beauty of outer space, and some of his visuals in the Star Trek movies. There's even that great shot in the New Into Darkness, you know, when the Enterprise is facing that, you know, big admiral ship, and in the background is a nebula. I mean, it's just so beautiful. I mean, Star Wars in the movies, it's always just, you know, blackness and then, like, specks of stars, which is still cool, but it would be awesome to see, like, this, a little bit of a richer atmosphere to the, you know, to space itself.
Right. And maybe like on, you know, the approach and establishing shots, vary the distance that you look at the planet from.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Star Wars generally, and this possibly could have been due to the fact that when George Lucas started it, the technology was limiting. But we got a lot of, you know, either like you saw part of the planet in the background as the ship flew over it, or you would get like the big, you know, way back view of the planet, and then the starship flying to it. But I really liked the establishing shot in Star Trek Into Darkness where Scotty is going to find out what's around Jupiter.
Yeah.
And he flies over Jupiter's moon, and there's just Jupiter, like, in the middle distance there, filling up so much of the screen. And I was like, that is cool.
Yeah, so, it was so beautiful. It's so cool. It gives you a sense of how big the planet is, too.
Right. And so if we get, you know, add in some more moons around some of these planets and sort of play with your establishing shots, I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, course, you know, don't get too creative because then you're, you know, getting a little far from Star Wars.
Right.
But just sort of see what you can do, you know.
Lots of lens flares, you know, as you're doing the approach and shift.
No. No lens flares. Although there were a few in Star Wars. There's like two, I think, that I remember specifically from Phantom Menace. There's one where it's one of the shots where I think it's the Naboo cruiser heading towards Tatooine. And it flies past the camera, and the lens flare reflects off of the ship.
Yeah.
And then there's one during the battle in the generator room, and there's a lens flare from the plasma generator stuff coming around.
Yeah.
The duel going on there. So.
Yeah.
This lens flares are not foreign to Star Wars, but they're not common to Star Wars.
Right.
So.
Well, there weren't even that many lens flares that I can recall from Into Darkness, so I feel like he really.
They're probably more than I'm thinking of.
Okay, yeah, I don't even remember any, but I'm sure there were some.
I think I remember a few. I don't remember the exact spots, but there were definitely lens flares. So.
Yeah, yeah, but
we also need to get Benedict Cumberbatch involved with Star Wars in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, he'd be a great villain.
Hero of some sort. Have you seen Sherlock?
I haven't.
Netflix?
No, no.
The Sherlock series.
No, I haven't.
So good.
I know. That's what I've heard. One of my friends that actually went to see Star Trek with us when we went the other weekend. She was saying how she really likes him as Sherlock, and I was like, oh, I've never seen it. And she's like, oh, he's incredible in that. And that was the only reason she wanted to see it. She's like, I care less about Star Trek or anything. She's like, I just want to see him in this because I heard he was really good in Star Trek. So
he was. So
he was. He was incredible. I think after leaving Star Trek, I just was like, yep, Star Wars is in great hands because. Again,
it is.
And J.J. Abrams is a Star Wars fan, too. I mean, he didn't. I think he wouldn't have ever said it publicly because he was directing it. I think it's fair to say he didn't like Star Trek. I mean, he was like, oh, I was never a really big Star Trek fan. You're just being nice. You probably didn't like it that much.
right.
And, I mean, he took something and like, breathed a whole new life into it. And now he gets to work on something.
Not only did he breathe new life into a series, but he remained true to the characters and true to like some of the stories and stuff. And he took such good care of that because there are so many fans of the original stuff and the older stuff. And so if we've got, you know, that sort of mindset from a guy who loves Star Wars, you know, self-admitted, he says that he absolutely loves it. I can't imagine that he's going to do anything untoward towards our franchise, so
right, yeah. I mean,
there's a big word for you there. Steve Clawson.
Needless to say, I think Star Wars is in very good hands with J.J. Abrams. So
indeed.
So, yeah.
Is there anything else that we want to talk about today?
I think we've done a fair share of speculating.
Yes.
Ahsoka's going to be killed by Darth Vader. There's going to be 3 lens flares every minute in episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
Benedict Cumberbatch is going to play Jar Jar Binks in episode 7. And I think, I think Boss Nass is going to be the new leader of the Republic. Yeah.
Mm. That's about right. And the Enterprise will replace the Millennium Falcon.
Right. Exactly. The Enterprise will be the new Millennium Falcon, and the Klingons will be the enemy in episode 7.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there you have it, folks. that is gospel truth. And Oh, dear. We joke, folks. We joke.
my friend at work, he's a real big Star Trek fan. And he said to me, he's like, you know, what would you do if Disney then bought Star Trek franchise and decided to make a Star Trek, Star Wars inter-universe movie? I said, I would hate Disney and I would hate Star Wars. I would never get behind that. I think that would be so stupid.
That should end is the Enterprise comes through the warp tunnel or whatever it is, the wormhole, and gets destroyed by the Death Star. And there you have the movie.
Actually, I think you don't even need a Death Star to destroy the Enterprise. The Millennium Falcon could destroy the Enterprise.
An X-Wing. But no, just if you want that, just go on YouTube. Find, you know, there's hundreds of Star Wars, Star Trek mashups. And most of them end with the Enterprise being blown to bits.
Every single Star Trek movie, the Enterprise is blown to bits. Like, I don't they're always rebuilding that thing.
Even in its own franchise, the Enterprise can't get any love.
I know it. But I will say, it is a cool-looking ship. Enterprise is really cool-looking.
It is. And whenever it goes into the warp speed, that was always really cool in this. But then, of course, you know, our beloved Millennium Falcon has always got something wrong with it.
Sure. So. Yeah, that's true. But she's just a little freighter.
She's not designed to handle what Han throws at her.
Yeah.
But she takes it anyway. So
there you go.
Oh.
Yes.
Wait. No, I already mentioned that. Sorry.
Okay.
I was going to say about Sam Witwer and Rebels, but I already talked about that. Yes. So.
Yes.
Anywho's it.
Yes. Well, there you go. There's some speculation for you.
Some speculation. Yeah, we've been wanting to do this, and so I'm like, well, we have a podcast. Why don't we just, you know, record ourselves and do it? So, yeah. I've been wanting to talk to Carl about all the new awesomeness happening, and I was like, yes, and let's make an episode out of it. And he's like, okay. So we literally like set this up like
2 hours ago,
3 hours ago.
Yeah.
So
all the joys of podcasting.
Indeed. So, indeed.
But yeah. I mean, again, just very exciting stuff coming up. Rebels and then episode 7. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
Yes. So we will. And I can't wait to see what other announcements we're going to get at San Diego Comic-Con and Star Wars Celebration Europe 2.
Yeah.
They're making a really big deal out of Celebration Europe 2 this year.
Right.
And which makes me think that they've got something big planned for it. You know, I don't remember. I was listening to a podcast, and I don't remember who said it or which podcast it was on. Because I'm listening to so many of them recently. But somebody was saying that they're not convinced that there's going to be a whole lot of big news over at Celebration Europe 2, because it's in Europe for some, I don't know, but I think they're really trying to, you know, hype up the celebration here in order to like get the first big announcements on a couple of things out there. I know Dave Filoni is going to be there, and I think they're going to get like a first look at Rebels. Whether or not that probably means concept art and, you know, like story ideas or characters that are going to show up. And then I'm guessing we're going to get, you know, confirmation of the big three in episode 7.
I hope so. I know Kathleen Kennedy is going to be there. So,
yeah, Kathleen Kennedy is going to be there. She's, you know, scheduled to be there, which means that there's going to be something big that she's going to be talking about. You know, George Lucas showed up at Celebration 6, but that was unannounced and, you know, he just sort of decided to show up.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But, I mean, obviously they wanted to announce all this stuff at C6, but something happened. So.
Right. Right. So, but yeah, I think we're going to get something of substance, out of Celebration Europe too. So, but once come summer 2014, we're just going to start getting completely overloaded with all sorts of awesome Star Wars news in the lead up to Rebels and episode 7.
Oh, yeah.
So,
this
is the call. This, while we've gotten a lot of fun stuff, you know, here recently, this is the calm before the storm.
Absolutely. Folks.
So be excited. Be very excited.
Well, there you go. I think that about does it.
Indeed. And we will be saving our matchup between General Grievous and Asajj Ventress for our next episode. So please send in your responses to that, who you think is going to win. And if you want to respond to that or anything else about the show, how can they do that, Carl?
Well, they can hop on over to StarTrek.com/Wampas there. Just kidding.
StarTrek.com/Wampas there.
But of course, find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Wampas there podcast. At Twitter at Twitter.com/Wampas there. You can always email us at WampasLairPodcast@gmail.com. That's where we be.
Indeed. And be sure to check over on StarWarsReport.com for it's on the Wampas Lair, Star Wars Report, Star Wars Beyond the Films, and Star Wars Bookworms. Mm-hmm. And yes, well, that about wraps up this episode for the Wampas Lair podcast. This has been episode number 54, You Rebel Scum. For Carl.
Should have counted how many times you did that.
I know. Great. I think that's about 4 or 5. Good. You Rebel Scum.
There we go. Get one more in. yes.
For Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampas Lair.